road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Hello and welcome back to The Drive. Thanks for listening today, wherever you are. And hope everything is going well so far with your school year. I hope you're off to a great start, that you've tried some cool new things, that you've made some moves outside of your comfort zone, that you've tried to do something maybe a little bit different, maybe that you haven't done before, or thinking about maybe the next unit where you can do something new and different and challenging for you and your students. I just got done with a conference, a two-day conference in Oklahoma City, the OTA Encyclomedia Conference. It was really great, and I had the opportunity to meet with a lot of teachers and hear some good things. And one of the things that kind of came up in the conference was one of as teachers, if we're not using technology in the classroom with our kids to help them learn, and if we're not creating some of that media ourselves, what are we doing? What kind of example are we setting? What kind of role model are we going to be? Because there's all kinds of media that is being created and consumed by people, teenagers, students, school-age kids. And the question is, or how much are we guiding that, and how much are we helping them learn about that, and how much are we doing to give them the kind of learning opportunities that they need? And one of the questions that was really interesting and kind of thought-provoking for me was the question of, if you were to Google yourself, what would you see? What would be there? What would be on that first page of hits? And if it's all things that are negative, or maybe not quite right, or that spring break beach party with the beverage in hand, is that something that you want on that front page? And as teachers, we're hypersensitive to that because of the position that we hold in our culture of trying to be a good role model and a kind of above all of that other stuff. You know, we have friends, we go to dinner parties on occasion. They're called cookouts. They're not dinner parties. I mean, teachers don't go to dinner parties, but teachers go to cookouts and have fun and have their own people. And we do good things, but sometimes, you know, you don't need to, you can't post it like maybe somebody else could. I'm not saying that's good or bad or otherwise, but it's just a reality that if you go do something, it usually tends to be pretty private and not plastered all over Facebook in that way. In fact, an administrator of mine one time used to say, if you go out to have a nice meal in your community, ask them to put the wine in a coffee mug for you, which I think is just a really interesting, it's just really interesting, kind of some of the standards that teachers are held to. And I'm not complaining. I don't have a problem with that at all. But on the flip side, what content have you created for others, for your students, for yourselves, for other people that would be on the internet? And can we find that if we Googled your name? And if we can Google your name and there's nothing there, then that maybe could potentially be seen as a problem. Because why aren't you being a role model for your students in that way? Showing them that you can create content for others to use, that you can create what you know, that you can share what you know, that you can interact with others about what you know, and step out of some comfort zones in that way. The students that we're teaching today, the older these students are, the more they probably have some sort of life plan halfway imagined. Okay, but I have three young children in my house, my own DNA, and there is no telling what the future holds for them. Like their future career, we may not even know about at this point in time. It may not even be on the horizon. But 10 years from now, you know, when they're graduating from high school, 7 years from now when they're graduating from high school, what is going to be there? What career is it really going to be? And my challenge to you is, my thought for you is, it's probably going to be some sort of computer-based system of something. I mean, more than like, it could be virtual reality. It could be something that is just a glimmer on the horizon that we don't know about yet. So in this world that we live in, how am I preparing my students for the future if, as a teacher, I don't role model that? And so I thought that was a really interesting thing to think about at this conference. It just gave me a lot to think about. You know, how can we do that? How can, as teachers, how can we take that risk to create content to share with others on the internet and start to build our digital portfolio as well, so that we can role model that for the students so that they can see those things? And you know what? The way the world is becoming just so much smaller now with internet and with social media and different ways to connect with people, why wouldn't you want to do that? It's easier than ever to meet an expert or to meet a fellow teacher or to get ideas. It's easier than ever to do that now. When I was my very first teaching position was at my alma mater, the high school that I graduated from, and it was great fun. I really did enjoy the time that I spent there. It was a blast. But it was the math department, the people in the math department, and there was, I think, 8 of us. And that was who I had to learn from. That was my learning community at that point in time. There was no other person that I could do. I could get some journals, but as a young teacher, I didn't know what journals I needed yet. I didn't know how to go about getting them yet. I still had to learn that. And I had great mentors. I'm not saying I didn't. Carolyn Hinke and Lou Ireton and Charles and Angie Crooks. They poured into me as a young teacher, and they helped me out, and they encouraged me, and they did amazing things for me. But here's the thing: inside our building, we just had our view of the world, and there wasn't a lot of view outside of that. We had, the internet was fairly young at that point in time. We had one computer. It was networked, but we didn't really do much on it. We weren't Googling things on it. We weren't using it to benefit the students at all. I tried to find a gradebook program to use, but it was so darn hard to use. I just said, forget it. I used a calculator and ran through all the numbers out of my gradebook. I mean, you know, the world was just so different. And I look around now and with Pinterest, I was in a session where a teacher was teaching about interactive notebooks. And gosh, I would have loved to have seen interactive notebooks when I was a first year teacher. They are so amazing. You can do so much with them, and they can be so beneficial to the students and all kinds of things. And man, they're great. And I had no idea what an interactive notebook was when I was first teaching. I do now, and I love them. But she was explaining how to make a fold and a cut and a paste. And what she had seen on Pinterest was a glue sponge where you take some cheap Tupperware and you put a regular sponge in it like you'd get from the cleaning aisle, and you cover that sponge with glue and let the glue just set in there and cover the close off the Tupperware, and bam, you got a glue sponge. And what you can do with that glue sponge is just, it becomes like you just rub the piece of the paper off that you want to get the glue on and stick it in your interactive notebook. I mean, it was brilliant. It's on Pinterest. Look it up. Glue sponge on Pinterest. It's an education hack. There was no education hack when I was younger. I mean, why do we sometimes as teachers insist on teaching the way that we've always taught or the way that we've always learned? Why do we get so stuck on that? We get so consumed with the end results of the high stakes testing. And my challenge and argument to you is this: you can be creative, you can have agency, you can take your profession back, and you can do amazing, amazing, amazing things, and your kids will still do well on the test. But you have to be willing to take that step out of your comfort zone and into that magic place where the cool stuff happens. And it's not going to be easy, and there's going to be roadblocks, but I'm telling you, the most amazing things will happen there. We truly have to prepare our kids for the future. We don't know what it looks like. We really, really don't. Kids that are in high school have a little bit of a glimpse of that. Like their future, we can sort of see that and make very good educated guesses. But for my daughter, who's in second grade, I have no idea. There's no idea. But I know this: she brings home a worksheet every day, and that's her work, and that's how she's learning, we're doing her a disservice. Because even right now as a teacher, is what I'm doing as a teacher and as an adult, I'm using the computer, I'm interacting on the computer, I'm creating connections throughout the world, and we have to teach our kids how to do that in a safe way. And I know that one of the things that teachers are concerned about is the privacy of the child and making sure that they're not exposed to bad things. And I agree 100% with that. We do have to be careful. We have to be careful, but we also have to educate. And the internet is not this horrible, horrible, horrible place. Are there horrible places on it? Yes. There are, without question. Places that I don't want my own children to go ever. But the benefit, though, is there's such an amazing place to learn on the internet. And some of the media and some of the technology is so, so, so incredibly amazing. Why aren't we being more active as role models for them? Instead of shutting the door at every turn and putting kids on a super, super narrow path, why don't we give them some freedom to explore and look a little bit? We can be over their shoulder, and we can help them, and we can protect them as well as we can. But at some point, they have to fly on their own, right? And if we haven't given them the tools to make good decisions to fly on their own, what good have we really done? So the conference was great, and those are kind of my wrapping up thoughts from it. We were able to hear from our state superintendent, Joy Hoffmeister. She's such a breath of fresh air. I love listening to her. She's passionate for her teachers, and she's passionate for her students, and she wants all of us to be successful, and you can hear that every time she talks. And one of the things that she also encouraged her teachers was to get involved in social media on Twitter. And I know teachers sometimes hear the word Twitter and they just think, I don't have time to do another thing. Twitter's scary. There's all kinds of stuff on there. And yes, Twitter is scary and there's all kinds of stuff on there. However, I read somewhere that there are roughly 2 billion tweets every day. And of those 2 billion tweets, over 2% of those tweets are education related. So I think 2% of a 2 billion, I think, is 2 million. I could be off by a zero. But 2 million tweets about education is a lot. And even if it's only 200,000 tweets, that's still a lot. And if it's 20 million tweets, that's even more. So somewhere with one of those sets of zeros is 2% of 2 billion. And that's a lot of tweets. And with that information, what can you learn that you can use in your classroom that can make a difference? That's the question. What are you doing? What are you preparing? What are you truly preparing your kids for? Yes, you're preparing them for the AP Chem exam, but you know what? You're a teacher, and can you do that in a way that allows them exposure in places they're going to need it? Just a question, just a challenge. Thank you so much for listening to The Drive. I truly appreciate it. You can get The Drive in anywhere that you can get a podcast on Stitcher or iTunes. Please share it with your friends. I love the interaction that comes from people that listen. I love being able to talk with you, and I love the feedback. So continue to do that as well. Thank you so much. And remember, no matter what you do, you're going to make a difference in somebody's life. Whether you know it or not, you make a difference. So keep doing that and be brilliant.